This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey, Gary.
It is wonderful to see you, Andrea. How are you?
I am good. I am good. Happy Passover.
Thank you to everybody out there.
Sounds like a lot of people are also heading off on some early Easter vacations and things, but hopefully they're going to listen to this because we're going to talk about all the things that you need to know about AI. It's going to be a good one. I'm excited not only about the topic, but I'm excited to have Avery join you in this conversation. Let's bring her up. Avery. Avery Acanini, our president of Vayner 3. Welcome, welcome, Avery.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you, Andrea, always for putting these on. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into Marketing for the Now. We're excited to do a little bit of a different format this time. We have a couple of brand guests, and we're also going to do a couple of demos. But before we get into all that fun, Gary, wanted to start by asking you some questions of sort of what's on your mind with AI. You know, internally, we've been talking about this since the summer when Midjourney and then subsequently DALL-E 2 sort of caught our eyes. And then ChatGPT happened and 100 million users also caught on to that. So how big of a deal is generative AI for brand builders and for marketers?
I mean, it's and I think we've seen the headlines over the last 30, 45 days. It's so big that you have some of the biggest names in technology history saying like, hey, should we contemplate taking a collective human pause for 6 months and really try to understand this? It is a profound technology. You know, I think back to search really hitting the scene, the internet and then search engines. And it was like, wow, this is like a big deal for like human information capacity, efficiency. Like literally, I don't have to drive 32 minutes or if I live in a rural area or 15 minutes, a city or 5 minutes to the library, find the encyclopedia or the book or the reference. It was just like, wow, things that used to take even 10 minutes in your own home to go downstairs, get the encyclopedia, like 10 minutes became 10 seconds with search, and so much happened. AI is like a whole different, like I bring up search because it's an easy, quick comp, but the multiplier on artificial intelligence is profound. It gets smarter, it's not stagnant. And what it's going to mean to creative. I was talking to a musician the other day and he was like, Gary, how should I think about this? I was like, well, do you understand that you'll be able to like probably get very good insight on what you should title your song? Like that the machine learning is going to get so strong that, hey, what, you know, if I want this to happen, what should I title this song? Or testing hooks or extracting hooks. I mean, it just gets so wild. It's really difficult, Avery, to completely comprehend the profound nature of what it can do. And, you know, obviously I think the big elephant in the room is trademark and copyright. You know, I hear that bubbling up a little bit behind the scenes right now. But this is very, very, very substantial technology. And I really don't see anyone on earth not being affected by it. Especially because you really clearly can see already with the ChatGPT APIs, like food services, like others, like already starting to play with it. And so you very quickly you're like, oh, right. Like, you know, Alexa and Google Home and these things, they're going to get stronger because the race is on with the biggest tech companies. And then, oh, right. All these consumer apps are going to start layering AI into their environments and we use them every day. So yeah, I think it's a big, big deal. And so big that I think we're drinking from the fire hose, but being thoughtful on how we're gonna execute against it.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that because obviously, you know, marketers are listening to this. There are some practical things that people can be doing right now. You talked a little bit about OpenAI's products, ChatGPT. They also have DALL-E 2 and others. What are some of like the practical things that you think that marketers can do today to start getting themselves educated? Because I do want to touch on in a second some of the watchouts, which are very, very real for brands who have a lot to lose, you know, if they're jumping into this space a little too quickly.
Let me reverse the question because I think, you know, oftentimes I'm interviewed by people that I feel like are right there in answering the questions, and I'm always enjoying other people's perspectives. Your you're heading up our innovation agency. You know, I know you well. You're in it right now. Why don't you answer that question in reverse?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? You know, I'll give you my 2 second one and then you take it deeper. Everyone needs to be tasting it. I'm petrified, Avery, that there are a ton of people here who've read the headlines but have not played with it.
Oh, like, and that's definitely the case. So I feel like everyone who's watching this right now, like your homework coming out of this, because Gary and I are framing this up as like homework season. And, you know, I've worked for you for more than 5 years, Gary, and everything new, you always want to run at. This is the one thing that you're like, let's run at it, but internally, like, let's really get ourselves together. Let's really do our homework, because this is very, very powerful, and a lot can go right, but a lot can also go wrong. So internally.
And specifically, I apologize. The thing, just so everyone's listening, because we have clients, it's very quick to think, oh, we're an agency. Let's make art out of this product for our clients. We can make something, AI can help us make something in 2 minutes, a minute, that might take an hour for someone in Adobe or Canva or something of nature. The problem is the source of the creative is not clear enough yet. And we want to be very cautious about that. So for a lot of people here, play for it for yourself, learn it, play, use it internally. To your point, Avery, like decks that our team are making for each other, you can do that. That might save you an hour to prep for a meeting. But if you're doing something on behalf of someone else, be understanding and thoughtful about some of the stuff that's in the air, right?
Yeah, I think there's like 4 major buckets where we see this being a useful tool for us already internally and for our partners. Like, we work with Fortune 500 brands and enterprises. And at the end of the day, wherever consumers go, brands need to understand. The fact that hundreds of millions of people are already doing this, and they're not just using ChatGPT, they're creating AI headshots and portraits, and anyone can be, you know, this new type of artist. There are like professional generative AI artists, and even a guy in our team who's sort of been spearheading this internally has been winning these generative art competitions for like real artists. So like people are catching on to it. Brands have to understand. And I think we're in this novelty phase right now. We're like, okay, great. ChatGPT wrote my script and I'm Ryan Reynolds. Like, that is a novelty that is getting attention because there's relevance in this. But I think we're about to shift into more of the utility component, and generative AI can be useful for strategy. Being a strategic partner can be useful for copywriting. Even training certain models so they sound like I'm in the voice of Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Like, you can train it over time to visual creation, like asset production. Anyone who's ever worked in agency knows there's a lot of resizing and a lot of formatting and a lot of production help. And we'll hear from some of those partners. And then lastly, I also think this ongoing sort of ideation and ongoing community management, there can be a lot of automation in this that exists today. And people are feeling a little like, oh, is this going to take away the jobs of creatives and, you know, of thinkers? And to us, exactly what you said at the top of this call, it's and not or. It's right now, it's a supplemental thing. So that's what I'm seeing on my side.
I need to just say something. Troy Denson in the YouTube comments said that ChatGPT said the Jets won't win the Super Bowl until 2078. So I'll be walking away from this stream right now and going to work out and eat well, because I need to survive until that day. That would put me at 103, Avery, and I'm very focused on that. So thank you, Troy, for the information. Avery, what about the fear? You know, I think, you know, I saw someone say, you know, like, the real question is, what's this going to do to the job market? And I think it's very clear that this technology is so profound that there will be a scenario where it is able to do things that humans are currently being paid for. However, much like the tractor in farming, those humans went on to do other things that were impactful, the critical thinking of using AI, or altogether different things. You know, as you know, because you're on top of things, we've been talking about autonomous cars taking truck drivers' jobs for a decade. I've been hearing AI is going to take jobs forever. Now it's here, to your point. We don't have like the Uber of autonomous trucks yet where we can have that conversation. Any hot take, any intuition? What are you hearing?
You know, I think the thing that, especially internally, we have thousands of creatives who work across the Vayner companies, and people are like, hey, is this going to be, you know, something I need to watch out for? And it's actually something that they need to learn and embrace and understand. I think a lot of our success at Vayner has come from embracing change, understanding what's happening and skating to where the puck is going. Because there will be prompt engineer jobs. We already see some people who really get this. Their prompts are getting better. Their output is getting better. It's just like you mentioned Adobe or Canva. Like, it's a tool. You need to understand how to use the tool. And now I think we can call this homework season is a time for brand marketers and really anyone to spend time understanding these tools so they can effectively leverage them in this sort of next era of the internet.
Joey says, I used Text AI to write a blog post and I was amazed at how effective it was in helping me expand on my thoughts. Completely mind blown. I think you mentioned it earlier. Again, everybody loves the whole concept of or, you know where I sit on this, there's a pandemic. It's called being obsessed with or instead of understanding and. I think the co-creating thought partner that AI will be for copywriters is going to be profound. You know, it's going to be a training wheels. You know, some people use classical music. Some people use a glass of wine. Some people use going to the cabin in the woods to like actually help them write and think and put pen to paper. I actually think AI is going to be a much more effective version of that psychology. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Super excited. Gary, where do you think that this is sort of heading in the now and the next for marketers, just as we get ready to have our next guest on?
Do I have 2 minutes before the next guest?
Yeah.
Cool. So I just wanted to know the timing. You know, I think, you know this, I hate that the world obsesses about yesterday tactically, not learn from it. I think that people overly, you know, trying to figure out tomorrow. And I'm obsessed with the concept of today. The now of it is it's here. And every single marketer, every single operator, every single creator, and every single human who's watching this needs to leave at the end of this hour and literally listen to the platforms that are here and go create accounts and go taste. It's just here. We've touched on some of the ways that you have to be thoughtful, copyright, trademark. You have to be a little thoughtful for commercial use, but for
very.
AKA, we're not doing it and we always do everything. So, you know, but you must use the serendipity of watching this today in the middle of a Wednesday to be like, okay, I've been putzing around. There's some people talking shit about it, Avery. Like, this is the worst or this is the best and literally haven't used it yet. So the answer is go ride the bike. Go, don't have thoughts about what swimming is going to feel like. Jump in a pool and swim. That's the game.
All right. Amazing. Andrea, we'll let you pull up with the next guest.
Thanks.
Fantastic.
Amy.
Thanks to you both. All right. We're going to bring John up next. John Licata, who is the chief of innovation at SAP's Future Hub. And his mission is to uncover emerging trends ahead of mainstream thinking. Welcome, John.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Hey, Gary.
John, how are you?
Good. Good to finally connect.
So much, brother. All right. Break it down for us, John. First of all, your background's epic.
Awesome. AI generated just for you.
Give it to us, my man. Just like pontificate here. I won't even go. I'll give you the floor up front. Like what, you know, obviously you probably were listening. I assume you didn't just sign in. You know, what do you agree with? What do you want to expand on? What do these people need to know?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I really think that you're right. We have to jump in the pool and we have to play. And unfortunately, right now, you're seeing some companies almost bring in an AI hammer and playing whack-a-mole to fix things without actually trying them. And I think that's definitely premature. I think that we need to figure out how we can be augmented by AI and become better. I mean, you mentioned in your monologue about, you know, the ability to maybe write better or have the opportunity to have it help you. And I really think that's where we need to go, is the augmentation of humans. You can make a case for certain jobs being replaced, and Challenger Gray and Christmas talking about 2.5 million US jobs could be replaced by ChatGPT alone, and Goldman Sachs talking about maybe 250 to 300 million jobs globally from AI in general, not just from generative AI, but AI in general. But I think this is a time to try things out for upskilling, to see how you can maybe get better at doing your job. Because if certain tasks are automated, that might allow you to try to be more innovative, to try new opportunities to put in, not just with, you know, creating cool images, but I really think that we have to be prepared for moving from Web 3.0 focused on digital assets and really think about maybe 4.0 digitizing trust. This is where I think marketers and businesses need to understand, because the other day I was looking and I came across a cool track from Jay-Z. Guess what? It wasn't Jay-Z. And, you know, this morning there was something about Taylor Swift fans that they were using her likeness and voice, but to personalize messages. Clearly that wasn't her as well. But the reality is the IP, the copywriting. How do you, it's easy to say we need to use AI to get ethical and become more responsible. What does that mean? Systems need to play with each other. They need to understand, how do you navigate AI in a world of compliance with sustainability? Understanding, if we're going to play and jump in the pool, there's got to be some sort of framework that we can make sure that we do it right. And I think that's, you know, my family's from Italy, Gary, and I just saw.
Oh, I hear it, Johnny.
And over the last couple of days, you saw, you know, the Italian government putting a pause on generative AI. And I think that what we need to get to the point of is understand, can I trust the data? As a business, as Vayner, as SAP, can we move forward and have embedded AI in our solutions that people can ultimately trust? And at the moment, you know, you're seeing some models that are spitting out false information. How is a business or a marketer, how can you act on information? You know, one of our executives put his bio in recently, and it came out at ChatGPT that he was deceased. Clearly, he was sitting next to me. He was not deceased.
By the way, just to remind, but brother, just to remind everybody, this is deja vu. Yeah. I didn't trust all the search results. Like in 1996, they weren't always right. Like, you know, with any tech, you know, that's funny though. With, I'm sure you're saying this as well, with every technology, we have to have a double check, a thoughtfulness. You know, to your point, like, how do you know if it's real? The biggest problem in the world right now is people are just reading headlines and just accepting them as truth. Absolutely. People also, John, as you know, they see or find what they're looking for. People also take Wikipedia as 100% truth, while there's tens of millions of people who for fun are putting shit in Wikipedia that isn't true. Like, you know, like, I mean, Google, early Yahoo, like, had many things wrong about wine. The first result was an article about wine because the guy knew, or the girl knew how to do SEO, and it wasn't right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, like, you know, I'm just wondering, will AI be the final nail in the coffin, where social media was a preview to it, of like, when are humans willing to become accountable, to become thoughtful again? Because the intellectual laziness and or the bias to find what you're actually looking for is a massive problem that we're all affected by. Like, the thought that I would believe everything that came out of ChatGPT when it's 14 seconds old is asinine.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and you know, I think we're gonna come to a period, Gary, where, you know, you have products that are made in the USA, products that are made in China. You're going to have to start seeing made in AI or work that's complemented, like this was submitted by, you know, an AI bot or something that shows people that there was some complementary means. But look, you and me have been around. And I remember back in the 90s when .com took off, when you know, with the wine business and doing the great things that you've done, I was afraid to buy something online. I put my credit card information in there. You know, so now I know my UPS driver by his first name because things come here so frequently. But I think now we have
John, think about Uber. Back to just technology. If you told somebody 40 years ago that they would have preferred their 14-year-old to go into a strange man's car.
Yeah.
They don't know the man.
Absolutely.
Like, you'd rather your 14-year-old to stay safe is going in a stranger's car. That was literally the only thing my mom told me not to do.
Yeah.
Technology changes our norms all the time. By the way, little fun fact, the year 1800, 83% of the labor force worked on farms. And then tractors were invented.
Yeah, no, it's so cool to think about, you know, we have to figure out a way that we we can leverage intelligence in new ways. And right now, you know, it's great to put a query in and to get some sort of intelligence for something that you need maybe in that here and now, but some of those models haven't been updated since 2021. So you, if I need to know something, I would rather have the machines know John, know Gary, help us in our moment that we're doing something, understand what are my business goals, what are my KPIs, and feed me information that will allow me to make better decisions, have better customer personas based on what's happening now. People's their buying habits change. We don't have one blanket persona anymore. And maybe AI should be used more as an assisting tool. And when it becomes more invisible, we become more active.
You'll love this and you know this. There'll be no should. AI is now a technology. Like technologies like the gun, the fork, the atomic bomb, the internet, like people are going to use them for good, for bad, for indifferent. There's going to be no should. There's AI and it's going to be used for all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And humans have proven the ability. Everyone that in my circles that's doomsday about this, I'm like, the atomic bomb was invented.
Yeah.
You know, like a gun was invented. I promise you, if we were all hanging around when the gun was invented, and we're like, wait a minute, my sword is like humans are capable. I also think the blockchain's verification infrastructure with an AI world, I haven't really put the ingredients are in my head. I'm like, wait a minute, if we're gonna need affirmation, isn't this the blockchain's core strength? I wonder if absolutely. Information going to the blockchain as a way to create provenance and resourcing and truth, that could be profound.
That's digital trust. That's Web 4.0 that we're going to be moving forward. And you know, like even with NFTs, right now it's artwork, but what about IP and exchanging these things that the AI can help with? So many different things, Gary, that we can tackle. And maybe we will have the Jets win, you know, sooner than what that call is. We're both suffering.
As long as I see it, 103, I'll be fine. I'll be like, yay. You know, whatever, you know. And are we done here? Andrew, you
can all right. It goes so fast. Thank you so much, John. We're going to bring up Laura Bowden, who is a partner at Bain, and she's the architect of Bain Solutions in Marketing and has recently joined arms with OpenAI in a partnership with Coca-Cola that we're super interested in hearing about. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Tell us all about this exciting partnership. What should we all collectively learn from it?
Sure. So I guess maybe what I'll start with is, you know, kind of picking up on one of the themes that you were talking about. AI is here. And, you know, it's going to be like 10 years ago when every company board and CEO says, well, what are we doing about digital? You know, now we're going to have every CEO and board saying, well, what are we doing about AI? And so, you know, our perspective is that every marketing organization has to have a good answer to, you know, not just that we're, you know, you giving the keys over to generative AI in order to create all of our content from here to eternity, but that there's a lot of really useful, practical applications of AI across the whole marketing value chain that, you know, maybe aren't quite so flashy and sexy, but actually will create much better outcomes. And, you know, the partnership that we have with OpenAI and the philosophy that Coke has brought to this actually also echoes some of the other themes that you've brought up already. You know, number one is we just need to start learning what it can do and where is it useful and where do we test the limits and, you know, what do we need to be mindful of as the tip of the iceberg that allows us to unlock more opportunity across the whole marketing organization. And, you know, our partnership with OpenAI is very much structured around, you know, OpenAI has created the technology. They haven't had the capacity to be able to think through all the different applications. And so we've been challenged to say, you know, well, what can we be doing? What are the various different use cases? Where do we see, you know, value coming out of those use cases? And then more importantly, actually, and sort of important to our business, how does that work? What do you have to rewire in order to be able to get the value out of it? Where would you actually start changing decision rules if, you know, you've got new steps in the process or ways that, you know, individuals can be empowered to do things that they couldn't do before.
Yeah, I think that's right. What do you think, actually, this is a fun one. Laura, what was like the most aha moment for you when you were like, uh-oh, this is a big, big deal? You know, we all kind of have those moments with big new technologies. I'm in that perfect age where my entire career has almost been hitting like web one, web two, web three, you know? So what was yours with AI? What were you like? You know, because I'm sure given your career and all the great successes, you know, like me, I looked at startups that were doing AI 4, 5, 6 years ago, and very quickly I was like, oh, okay, this is like half-assed machine learning, or a lot of them were just like, oh, these are just APIs. This isn't real AI, you know? Mm-hmm. When did you have like the, oh man, this is like, when did you taste it, or what did you see? What was the aha?
So, you know, very much from a marketing lens, the excitement that I have around generative AI in particular is that I think marketing has lived for far too long with the silos between brand and creative and performance. And generative AI is this awesome bridge that will actually finally bring them together so that those who are coming up with the most creative concepts will be able to finally prove that they drive performance. And, you know, and I think the technology is super exciting for being able to more quickly and easily optimize the content in a way that then you can see the performance value of it. I mean, I know we all know.
I think the thing there, Laura, as you know, is if one is interested in creating that accountability. My argument to your point, in addition, additive to what you just said, is, oh, wait a minute. A lot of service providers are really enjoying the pointing the fingers that it's media or creative's fault. Like, what people have been asking me lately, because we've been exploding, like, why is VaynerMedia winning, or why did this go so well, or why is it so hot? I'm like, really, the actual answer is we have a thirst to be accountable that our marketing is working. You're absolutely right. This is definitely a technology that can create that capacity. It's just that the industry for 30 years has really enjoyed the non-accountability.
Somewhat. I mean, we've been studying what we call marketing leaders for a decade or more than that at this point, where we look at the organizations that are driving sales and gaining share, and yep, the things that they do different than everybody else.
Yep.
And throughout that decade, yeah, the leaders, those who are growing, they have that accountability. They optimize, you know, constantly. They're always testing, and they've built that bridge so that they are including the creative and brand teams into the accountability. Now, we could say that all day long. I agree with you. There's still many organizations who don't care, but I think more and more.
I also think a lot to your point. I think on a good day, that group is 20%. And of that 20%, there's another 50% that is accountable because they're sales organizations with some marketing overlay, which gets them to that accountability of business. But that's on a tangent. Final thoughts, because I want to make sure we've touched on everything you maybe wanted to touch on. Is there anything that this audience should be thinking about, needs to know about, like giving you the floor? What should that be?
Well, my perspective, you know, obviously all the headlines are about the generative content and creative applications, but when you stop to think about it, there are 25 other applications of even generative AI within what marketing organization can do, whether it's leveraging unstructured data to be able to improve audience targeting, or whether it's, you know, actually recreating the brief process in order to include more data sources and make the briefs smarter. You know, those aren't the things that are going to be, you know, like the Coke partnership garnering all of the headlines. But I think that's actually where a lot of the value is going to lie.
The practicality of it.
Yeah, the not exciting stuff, but the practical stuff that will drive impact.
For everybody who's watching who's not in the marketing world, the brief is like a starting point document. And to Laura's point, a lot, you know, many things that happen in marketing are incredibly vulnerable when the brief is too vanilla. And I was listening carefully to what Laura said. I think that's absolutely right. You to use this technology to give teeth to the brief for a lot of people will end up being a very practical operational enhancement. I think, Laura, to your point, and we kind of touched on it earlier, if you heard, a lot of the internal stuff is going to be really, really actionable right now. While I do think, are you also, Laura, hearing a lot of people at your level kind of chirping about the copyright or trademark fears on the creative generative stuff?
Yeah. And I think at some point we'll find ways to be able to create the right guidelines and kind of guardrails around that. The other piece that I think we can't ignore is the unintended bias that comes from the models being trained on a lot of history that none of us first, want to repeat.
Of course. Of course. Andrea, how much, I got to go, right?
Because this one's going lickety split. So thank you so much, Laura. And thank you, Gary. Appreciate you joining on. We'll be talking a lot about AI going forward, but so nice to see you and happy holidays. Happy Passover.